So we come to the near the end of this period of practice together. Thank you for being part of it. And some final words on this topic of dharmic pleasure and karmic beauty is that I've taught this before, and the people who heard the teachings were surprised that after many, some of them had been practicing for 20 more years, and said they never heard this before. And perhaps one of the reasons it's not talked about that much is that it tends to be more relevant for people who have practiced pretty seriously for some time. People who are developed a skill of meditation and or have had the longevity of it, that in the longevity of practice, something begins to kind of creep in, some sense of being at home in oneself, at home in the Dharma. And so when we sit down to meditate, there's a reference point that feels really good, really right, goodness, the goodness of the Dharma, or the rightness of being present and being here and attentive to this moment. But this dharmic pleasure, as I said this morning, can be quite strong. It's a stepping stone to dharmic happiness. And that dharmic happiness is a stepping stone to dharma peace. That pleasure is not an end to itself, but is the stepping stone that supports the mind, the heart, the body, to be able to let go more and more fully, so it transitions into a happiness, into a peace, into a freedom. The karmic beauty is what the theme, but there's also a dharmic beauty. The Buddha talked about the beauty of the Dharma. And then I talked about dharmic beauty, Kalyana Dhamma. And he associated with a number of things. And then we can see associated maybe with actions, things that we do, rather than just things that you have innately or you're supposed to discover that you have them. Just a matter of looking and looking to see if you can find that wonderful place inside where the beauty resides, and then everything will be fine. That's not what he's talked about, but rather the Dharma has a lot to do with how we live our lives. And if we're going to find the beauty of the Dharma, we find it in how we live our lives. So one of the key things that was considered beautiful is living by the precepts, living an ethical life. And then Buddha has this wonderful teaching. He talks about beauty is living by the five precepts. But then there's something that's more beautiful than beauty. So this the beauty that's better than that beauty, kind of. And that's the beauty of inspiring other people to live by the precepts, to inspire other people to not kill, to not steal, not cause harm through their sexuality, not lie, not be intoxicated. That's the beauty that's greater than beauty. That's kind of evocative idea. I'm not saying this is, you know, this is the ethics that's greater than ethics, inspiring other people, but it's beautiful. And I think it speaks to some inspiring part of my inner life to think of ethics and our interpersonal life as being somehow had this beautiful quality. It's like, of course, this is like refreshing, it's renewing, because of it associating with beauty, I don't associate it with ethical strictness or judgmentalism or obligation or sternness or criticalness, because that doesn't seem to kind of go along with this beauty. And then he talked about the the beauty of the Dharma being living, again, how you live, living with the Eightfold Path. When the Eightfold Path mature and become who we are, more than something that we, you know, external to us almost, that we take on and practice, it gets integrated into who we are, then that's we'll experience that as some kind of inner personal beauty, because it kind of flows through us, this flowing movement through us. And so this idea of something that becomes natural or a flow or a natural unfolding is part and parcel of this teachings of dharma, of dharmic pleasure and karmic beauty. And I still don't tire using this example. Sometimes people have heard this to me a number of times now, that one of the key descriptions the Buddha has of this dharmic pleasure, this pleasure, the non-sensual pleasure that's an upwelling within, is that of a mountain lake, that there's no inlets to the lake. There's no creeks coming into the lake. There's no rain into the lake. But the lake is entirely refreshed by an underwater spring in the middle of the bottom of the lake that comes up. And you imagine, I kind of imagine this wonderful fount of water, fresh water that comes up and spreads out throughout the lake. And the fact that there's no rain or no creeks coming in means that this is a kind of pleasure that's not dependent on things outside of the lake. And you're the lake in this metaphor. So you don't have to have input from the outside. And I think the creeks are the five sense doors that we usually think of. And the rain, all those little droplets that are coming down, is the coming from above, in a sense, is thinking. So when thinking is not the source of energy or source of this font of pleasure, when it's not coming from the outside, the creek's running in, but it's all coming from within. And this beauty has the same quality of flow and movement and goodness until it gets more and more peaceful and still and quiet. And at some point it becomes so peaceful and still, it seems like nothing is moving. It's just beauty, unmoving beauty. So I don't offer you these teachings as a carrot for you to then pursue. I think that goes against the grain, or against kind of the character of this pleasure and this beauty. But something to appreciate as a possibility, something that points to a way of practicing, that is beautiful, that is pleasant, that's enjoyable, that's not straining, not tight, not caught up in judgments and criticism and expectations and measuring, you know, am I there yet? Am I there yet? But some way of practicing that is meaningful or satisfying in and of itself. And that would be my goal. One of my really big goals in being a Dharma teacher and teaching meditation is to somehow pass on, transmit the idea that you don't have to go very far in meditation. Maybe you don't have to ever be more than a beginner. To practice in such a way that each moment of practice, what you bring to the practice is satisfying. That you bring a kind of attention to the present moment, that nothing has to be any different. Even if the present moment is quite difficult, maybe even painful. And of course, there's some wisdom that wants to try to change it. But it's a profound way of bringing this change that we're looking for in the Dharma is to be satisfied with each moment of mindfulness, to discover how a single moment of mindfulness is complete in itself and needs nothing beyond it. That its single moment of mindfulness has its own pleasure or its own beauty. If you can start getting a sense of that And not be looking for goals, not looking beyond the moment for the next thing to attain or where it's going or where it's not going. You're frustrated. But discover this precious value of one moment, this moment of mindfulness. That's one of the primary conditions for actually the change that we're looking for to begin happening. And the change that happens in the Dharma path, sooner or later you'll discover that it's happening to you. It's not something you do. If you're trying to orchestrate the change, you're probably interfering with the change. But if you learn this art of just one moment of mindfulness is enough in itself, this kind of radical being present with this, not to accept it because it's acceptable, but to accept it into awareness so that this dharmic flow, this karmic beauty can begin informing or infusing or enter into the equation, the ecology of what's happening. And that'll make a world of difference when you do that. So maybe as you go along, there'll be a time when you recognize something that of what I've said about dharmic pleasure, something of what we talked about here about karmic beauty, and maybe now you're more prepared to value it, to cherish it, to see it as a signpost that you're on the right track. And this is good. This is useful. This is helpful. This points to the way forward in this practice. Stay close to that pleasure. Stay close to that beauty. So I hope that these teachings have been useful for you. If they're not directly useful, I hope that they are inspiring enough for you to for it to stretch your perspective, your orientation, your be interested to look in a fresh way at your practice, at your life, and see if there's something here that, you know, maybe where does it fit? Where do you find this? And is there a new perspective that can maybe replace some of the old perspective you had that you didn't even know you had until you heard these teachings? You didn't know how much your perspective was not beautiful. You didn't know how much your perspective, your way of viewing your practice, yourself, lacked pleasure, lacked some kind of joy. And so, wow, that's quite something that I've been this way. I wonder if there's another way. And maybe now you'll look explore, experiment, and see what you can find for yourself. So thank you. And I offer these teachings for your welfare, your happiness, your liberation, your growth in the Dharma. And I offer these teachings, and we do this practice together for the benefit of others in this world. So for the benefit of others, for the welfare of others, so others might grow in their own goodness, in their own beauty, and so others might discover an inner freedom that is not dependent on the conditions of the world. May all beings be happy, safe, peaceful, and free. And may whatever benefit that's come from this day serve that purpose. Thank you all very much. And I think I have one announcement. So this is, as I said this morning, this was the first time that we're doing this Insight Retreat online. It's kind of like we have a new retreat center. We have the Insight Retreat Center, and there's the physical place where we start doing retreats again. And through there, we're doing hybrid retreats where you can participate online to some of the retreats. And then, but we also have now this Insight Retreat online, where we'll offer just online retreats without any reference to the retreat center. but also these day longs. And this is the first one. And a lot of work went into creating that, website or the template, the platform that you see for doing it. And hopefully that was easy enough for to participate. And we have two more of these. And the next day longs, the next day long is August 20th with Diana Clark. And I don't know if it might be a little bit of a coincidence, though, but she's kind of inspired by happiness these days. And so she's doing a day long on happiness that she now sees as a continuation of this day long. So so maybe you'll come to that on August 20th. And you'll find information about that if you go onto IRC's website, insightretreatcenter.org. There's a tab in the menu for online retreats, and there's a tab for day-long retreats.